Welcome to Factum Agri, dedicated to New Zealand's primary industry. Each week, I talk with farmers and growers, industry, the science community, and policy makers to hear their news and views on matters relevant to both our rural and our urban communities. This week on Factum Agri, farmer Roger Dalrymple joins me to discuss catchment groups, and I'm keen to hear his views on what the future may look like with a change in government. Hello, Roger. Thank you for joining me today.
Not a problem, Angus. No, not a problem. Good to talk.
Roger, can you tell me a bit about your farming business, where you farm and what you farm?
Yep. Well, we're the fourth generation where we are. Been pretty lucky. We farm between Whanganui and Palmerston North on the coast out from Bulls. Mm-hmm. Used to be a farming place here called Flockhouse, which Ngāti Apa have since bought. Mm-hmm. But we're out on the coast. We've predominantly on sand country, and we invested heavily in irrigation probably 15 to 20 years ago. So we're pretty well set up. Mm. We've got cash. We do cash crops. We're playing in the vegetable market. We're planting those. We finished quite a few lambs and beef for ANZCO.
Yep.
Plus we've got forestry. Yeah, we're in a good location, but in saying that, you know, we all know what the East Coast went through. We actually got flooded out of our house in 2004 when this side got dealt to. So,
yeah,
we know all about the challenges of climates and things, even where we live.
Mm. Indeed. It sounds like you've got a pretty solid and diverse farming business. How is spring tracking for you on farm?
We're having a cracker spring, Angus. Yeah, no, we are. You know, we've got the El Nino thing, which is meant to be clicking in, and I think it has, because we haven't had the westerly winds like we've for a number of years, like we're getting at the moment. Mm. We were getting these regular basis, but now, boy, oh boy, they're strong this year. Mm. But they keep bringing in the rain for us. The ground conditions are great. We're actually transitioning out of finishing winter lambs and mm-hmm. finishing cattle, and we're moving into the cropping, and we crop about 700 hectares and
yep.
A year, and the conditions are really good for it. Most of the crops are in maize, peas, barley. We're well on the way.
Oh, it's good. And getting these regular spring rain top-ups will be helping that along quite nicely.
Yeah, as long as they keep going, then we don't have to spend money on irrigators,
yeah.
having them running. So, but in saying that, we invested a little bit in solar panels.
Mm-hmm.
2 years ago it was, I think. It might be 2 years ago.
Yeah.
The payback on those is huge, and they're driving out pumps, 100 kilowatt irrigators, 100 kilowatt panels.
Yep.
So we pump a fair bit, so they're working for us when the irrigators aren't, which is great.
Yeah, that's interesting. So it's been a win that, has it?
Absolutely, yeah. Mm. The modelling to understand that, decide whether you put them in, like, there's no batteries. All we do is feed back into the grid when we're not using them.
Yep.
And the payback, I think, for ours is about 6 years, and it lasts 25 years, and we invested $250,000 in it. So you can understand how the return it's going to be for the farm and our business. Plus, we're obviously dotting a couple of I's or crossing a couple of T's and dotting a few I's for the greenhouse gas thing as well. So
yep.
for the environment,
mm.
It's quite cool, really. And you can look on your daily thing on your app as to how much money or how much power you're putting into the grid.
Yeah,
that's great technology.
And as well as being busy on farm, you are involved in catchment groups, I understand. Can you tell me a bit about that?
Yeah, I've been quite involved in that, and it basically started back in 2017 when I started talking to farmers in the Rangitiki about community catchment groups, because I was involved with Beef and Lamb, the Environment Reference Group, and I was hearing all the challenges that were coming from around the country, mm-hmm. which farmers have been challenged with, and I thought, oh, we've got to do something about this. We've had the model of top down to bottoms up. Basically since we've been here in this country, of government telling us how we do it and what we do and when we do it. And, it gets there, but it's not good. It costs a lot of angst. So I thought, right, community catchment groups, we've actually got to take responsibility for what's happening in our own community and what's happening in our own environment, locally I'm talking about.
Yep.
So I started talking to farmers in 2017, and it was all about working together, understanding our problems. E.g., we get told by activist groups that we're ruining our waterways and things, but it's all very general. Whereas in a community catchment group situation, we're actually water testing quite close, right next door to our boundary. Not us personally, but farmers. There's 83 water testing sites in the Rangitiki being done by our community catchments, which is a huge number, a lot higher than what Horizons is doing. But what it does, it's educating farmers and helping them understand how we are affecting it, and it's giving us great examples about showing where waterways are fenced and have been fenced for a reasonable period of time compared to waterways that haven't been fenced, and it shows the difference. And so when farmers see that, they say, "Ooh, shucks, we can do something about this." So, I reckon community catchments are a fantastic resource and a fantastic initiative going forward for our industry and for the environment. No farmer wants to pollute or cause damage. It's our livelihood, looking after our environment. So they will jump on board if they can see anything they can do to help protect the waterways or hold onto our soils, et cetera, et cetera. So yeah, no, it's great. I love being involved in it. It's good fun. We've now actually got 23 sub-catchment groups in the umbrella under the RRCC, which is Rangitiki Rivers Catchment Collective. I'm chair of that at the moment. So no, it's really good fun.
Fantastic. Yeah, I'm a big fan of catchment groups. Having farmers and the wider community come together and create solutions from the ground up that's farmer and rural community led and driven is a real win in my mind. Are you seeing any measurable results from the work you are doing in your catchment groups or other groups?
And you're talking about water results and things like that. Angus, it's a very long-term thing to make to change things. We didn't pollute the water overnight, and we're definitely not going to fix it overnight. But what we are seeing is we're seeing a huge change in farmers' management techniques and how they're managing the land. So we're not seeing huge changes in the water testing results. We've only been going for 4 or 5 years doing the testing. It's not till we've been going for 10, 15 years probably we will see that sort of thing. It takes a while for these measures that we're doing to filter through. If you do some riparian planting behind a stream, it's not suddenly going to improve the water from there, because you've got to do the whole stream. Everyone's capital is different. So you've got some farmers who can say, "Shucks, I'm gonna spend 20,000 on doing some riparian planting and fencing," whereas others might be trying to busy trade a bank, especially where the interest rates are at the moment. So it's a long-term process, this. But the good thing about it is people are on board, they're engaged, they want to make a difference, and they're doing what they can. It's an intergenerational thing, so no, I think it's extremely exciting for the country, because it's not just in the Rangitiki it's happening. It's over a lot of the country, which is great.
Yeah, indeed. Now we have a new government. We're not exactly sure what that looks like yet in terms of the makeup of the government. Firstly, what do you expect the new government to do in respect to policy around fresh water for farmers and rural communities? Are you expecting any changes there? And secondly, what are you expecting for farming in general in this country in terms of policy changes?
Really good question. And if I'm 100% honest, not a lot actually. I don't expect to be a huge amount of change, because let's face it, we've had 6 years of the Labor government, and even though we didn't like the speed of policy that they put on us, some of it was actually needed, and so we don't want to throw out the bathwater just because we've had a change of government. It's great. As a result of this, we've got community catchment groups, and it's great for our environment. So, we need a slowdown. We need a slowdown from the current government. But they're not going to rush in and chuck out everything that's in progress at the moment. The National Freshwater Policy Statement, that needs some tweaking. This one rule fits all, that needs to go. It needs to be community based. And when I say community based, I mean regions, and then down to communities too, as to what we want, as a standard for a water, et cetera, et cetera. Because, we can have our water absolutely perfect, and set and have an aspiration that we've got the most pristine water in the world, but we won't have any farming and we won't have any community. At the moment, one rule fits all doesn't is not going to work, and so we do need to reassess that. We've got to, we want to get the focus back around communities, basically, and take it out of central government. They've given Labor government has given us all a big shake up, and which as I said, I think was good, but we just need to slow down a bit, and reassess where we're at. Wait and watch the space.
Yeah, it definitely is a watch the space. And what are your thoughts around the ETS? Do you think there'll be some significant changes there, or much of the same with some tinkering?
I think it'll be much the same with some tinkering. But I don't know anyone in the country, and I'm talking urban, rural, combined here, that likes what's happening. As far as our beautiful, beautiful farming land, pastoral land being planted in trees, car, plant a tree to reduce your carbon. It's such short-term focus. Once the tree's grown, that's it. It doesn't store any more carbon. We've got to come up with long-term solutions. About reducing carbon and greenhouse gases and things like that. There'll be some tweaking with the ETS. It's one of the tools at the moment that's in the play, but it's definitely not a long-term thing. So I don't think they're going to chuck it out. There's too much money invested in it. But we do need to stop these overseas countries coming in, and that going on the media reports I've seen, it looks sounds like it's happening, coming in and buying our land and greenwashing their emissions overseas. That's just rubbish. We should never have let that happen when it did happen.
I agree. And it certainly doesn't add any value to the New Zealand economy either, does it?
No, not the slightest. No. Some of these countries are, they're planting them in trees and just going to leave them as trees and not do any pruning or anything. That was the intention when it was set up. What's that doing for our country? All it's doing is creating a fire risk. We've got that to address yet. There's going to be fires. The amount of planting that has been done, I actually think it could end up causing more harm to the environment than good that it's going to that they anticipated it was set up for. Because when we get a drought and we get a fire, boy, we don't have the resources of America or Australia to fight these big fires. So let's watch this space going forward. It's going to be interesting.
Certainly will be. Now, the lamb job is not looking too flash this spring. Of course, input costs are high. We have a few problems or challenges leading into Christmas, don't we?
Yeah, we certainly do. I'm lucky. I'm a finisher, so I just buy lambs when I've got grass and feed them as fast as possible. But I'm only talking the North Island here. We've been dealt a doozy this winter, on the East Coast and in the central North Island. I've got mates up around Taihape and places, and they say it's the wettest winter they've ever had. They couldn't get around their farms. It was too dangerous on their four wheelers, and they had to set stock early. And so what that's done is, and I'm sure the same as in the East Coast, and what that's done is it's reduced it takes away the control of managing your feed to your ewes. They're short of feed, and they have been all through winter because of the wet conditions. And so they've got skinny ewes. But the remarkable thing is, when it was actually lambing time, the conditions and the weather was very kind. So they've all got massive lambing percentages. So we've got skinny ewes with twins and triplets on, and that aren't being fed well. So we've got a major thing happening with a coming to the market with a huge number of lambs, small lambs, going to the works or trying to go to the works, but they're just not going to get there fast
Mm.
enough. And then we've got a potential drought coming. So, there's lots of people doing a scaremongery thing about the drought, but I can remember several, not many years ago, that we were told there was an El Nino, there was going to be a massive drought in the East Coast, and it was the best season they'd ever had. So I don't think we need to get too carried away, but two things, but we do need to take note of what we've got, and that is a lot of lambs and a lot of small lambs with a lot of skinny ewes. So farmers need to be proactive with planning for that, growing crops to be able to make sure they have feed to take lambs and things through. There's still plenty of time to plant summer crops, and just we can't say, oh, there's a drought coming. We need some help, government. We've got plenty of warning for this stuff. We need to actually be proactive as farmers and businessmen this spring. But it's going to be interesting what happens come Christmas time, because everyone sees that as a deadline, sort of to unload or to set the business up for summer.
Yeah, and I guess leading on from that, farmer confidence is low for a number of reasons. What message have you got to the country's new policymakers to not only improve farmer confidence, but to improve the outlook for farmers as a whole?
That's another good question, Angus. To me, we are the most efficient food producers in the world, full stop. We need to take heart on that. Our food is wanted all around the world, so let's not ruin it. Let's not ruin what we've got. And at the moment, the policy and regulation that's coming our way is doing its best to upset that by interfering with what I call commercialism. Let the commercial world decide what they want to pay for and what they reward us for. And when they've done that in the past, farmers have responded really, really quickly to that. So, we just need to keep doing what we're doing. Farming in this country, sheep and beef, has increased its productivity by 30% since 1990. We're 30% more efficient. So, I don't think we don't want to lose heart in what we're doing. We're really good at producing food, and the world, there's still plenty of starving people around the world. So let's keep doing what we're doing. We just need the government to back off a little bit, fix the economy. We want interest rates to come down. We pay a reasonable amount to the bank, I can assure you of that, along with other farmers. And so we do want that, but just to back off on some of this policy and get out of farming, focus on science and research and supporting farmers. It's the backbone of the country, always will be, always has been. So yeah, that's my message. It's going to come right. It's tough at the moment, but we just need a bit of a reset.
Thank you very much for your time today.
All good, Angus. All good. Yep, it's interesting times.
So, what will a change in government mean for New Zealand farmers? Well, that remains to be seen as yet. I agree with Roger. Let's keep driving catchment groups, and importantly, let's slow the pace of relentless policies that hinder and stifle farmers. Let's focus on science and technology-led initiatives to continue to improve sustainability, and importantly, let's let farmers get on with the job of growing food and earning money for the country. That's all from me this week. Thank you for listening, and catch you next time.